2 weeks ago, I delivered a word called breakthrough. Last week, it was rest. And this week, I have a short word for you, Jim Ford. Short. Bless him. Bless his heart. No, it's good. I love you, Jim. I have a word for you that kind of just dovetails beautifully with what the Lord has been saying for the last 3 weeks. And the word is peace. Mom mentioned it. Lifeway, God has so much for us. Now, I'm overwhelmed. I'm sorry. I'm just really overwhelmed at the moment. We are called to cultivate an atmosphere in our lives. We're designed to. An atmosphere of peace. We are called to live under the influence. Under the influence of peace. Breakthrough comes in a peace-filled heart. Rest is dressed in peace. Last week I talked about resting and how we rest in Jesus and we don't strive. We're not striving to achieve, to get somewhere, to do the best we can. We rest and we let God work through our rest. We let him pull us into victory and pull us into breakthrough, and we rest in him. But we can't be at rest in him if we are not asking for his peace to be thick. It is so tangible. His peace is tangible. It is tangible in this room this morning, an atmosphere of peace. God is calling us to a place of peace that is so rich it cultivates an atmosphere. God is calling us to a place of peace that is so thick, it changes hearts and minds of all who surround. The peace that was in that room was so thick, it was giving everyone that came in the room peace, joy, love was pouring out of that room. God is calling us to a place of peace that is so real. It is so real. Oh, it's so real, guys. It's so real. It's so real. It moves us to do bold things for his kingdom. God is calling us to a place of peace that moves us to do bold things for his kingdom. Those things that Eric talked about this morning that the Lord told us are going to happen. Moving us to a place of boldness. But we cannot be in that place of boldness if we're not at peace. Jesus moved, worked, lived. Jesus moved, worked, lived in this atmosphere. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Who lives inside of me? Who made me? Who made me right with God so that I can go to heaven? Who lives in me? The Prince, the reign over my peace. Isaiah 9:6. Peace is the literal presence of God. Peace is a covenant promise. Peace is the literal presence of God. When you feel peace, you are literally feeling his presence in you. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant, my promise of peace. What cannot be shaken, what cannot be removed? God's love for you and his peace cannot be taken from you, cannot be stolen from you, cannot be removed by any calamity in our life. Says the Lord who has compassion on you, Isaiah 54:10. Presence The very tangible presence of God equals a promise of peace. You might have peace. You could have peace. You may be at a state of peace. What does peace really mean? The Greek definition for the word peace, wholeness. Wholeness. God's presence promises you wholeness. God's presence promises you peace. He fills in where you lack. He makes up for where you feel not enough. He comes in with his presence, and it is ridiculous how tangible he changes the mood in the room. He changes the atmosphere in the car. He changes what happens at work. And when you invite his tangible presence of peace to come, say, "I, you're with me." And you recognize that. I think he's always with us, right? He's always with us, right? Is he always with us? Does he ever leave us? Does he ever forsake us? Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, he does not leave us nor forsake us. Never, ever, ever. It is that we recognize his presence. We say, I know you're here. We take a minute. We stop from the chaos. We stop from what's trying to take over our mental thinking. We stop from what's trying to drive us. And we say, no. I will cultivate an atmosphere of peace in this moment. Because your presence is here. Because you are here with me, and I'm going to recognize you. I'm going to lift my eyes. I'm going to recognize you, and I'm going to lift my eyes out of my circumstance, and I'm going to see that you're here. I'm going to see that you're for me. I'm going to see that your presence is tangible in this place, and I'm going to see that you're going to move the mountains on my behalf. In order to see the breakthrough, to find that rest, we have to believe that peace is power. Peace is power. Not, okay, I have to get this done. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to read my Bible. I have to pray this many times. And then God will move. Come on. Is that peace? Is that rest? Is that going to bring about breakthrough? Here is what I believe the Lord is asking of us. Do you want my peace? Followed by my power. Are you ready to stop settling for the status quo? Do you want my peace followed by my power? Ask me. It's yours. Ask. It's yours. This is the Father's heart for you today. Ask, it's yours. I'm a good father. I give good gifts to my children. Ask me, it's yours. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, it says aspire, which means in the Greek, to further the definition, make it your driving ambition. Aspire. Make it your driving ambition to lead a calm and peaceful life. As you mind your own business, which doesn't mean, like, don't be nosy. It means keep your promises in the Aramaic. I just thought I'd clarify that. Keep your covenants and earn your living just as we've taught you. By doing this, you will live an honorable life, influencing others and commanding the respect of unbelievers. When I read this scripture, I'm like, whew. Calm and peaceful life. As you mind your own business, as you keep your promises, as you keep your covenants, God is saying, make it your driving ambition to cultivate an atmosphere of peace. Did he say, make it your driving ambition to achieve, to earn a living, to do all of those things? What did he say first before he said, live peaceably among, you know, live, do those things? What did he say first? Make it your driving ambition to live in peace. What does living in peace mean? Live in my presence. Make it your driving ambition to live in my presence. Make it your driving ambition to live in my presence because my presence is peace. How do we do that? when life can be so incredibly painful, so incredibly hard, so like a storm is swirling around you. You can go from 1 minute being at peace and cool and calm and collected to the next minute, everything turning upside down and five things going wrong at once. How do you not lose your peace there? Real life. Real life. How do we do this? We say, if this could only be taken away from me, then I would finally have peace. If you could just remove this circumstance out of my way, God, then I would finally be at peace and I'd be good. I'd be comfortable and I'd be happy and everything would be okay. But what if God is saying, don't ask me to remove it, ask me to be in it. Don't ask me to take it away. Ask me to be present because I'm there and I've got so much wisdom to give you. I've got so much to cultivate in you. There's so much in this problem. I listened to Graham Cook this week and he said, what if we turned our thinking around and said, hey, guess what? I've got a problem this week, Chuck. Isn't that great? I've got a problem this week. And I need a breakthrough in this problem. And we got excited about the problem because we know who our peace is. Come on. Because we know that for every problem, there is a provision stored up in heaven for us. For every issue we walk through, God has something there for us to learn, to grow, to cultivate in us, to bring out some new fruit. Because peace is the fruit of the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit working in us produces this beautiful fruit, and it's called peace. It's called presence. Oh, isn't that good? Peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. Bill Johnson. Peace is not the absence of something, but the presence of someone. Come on. Oh, he's so present. He's so present. You need this? He's here. You need that? He's got it. You need that? It's done. That is who he is. That's the good father he is. If the enemy's tried to lie to you and tell him he's not like that, that's just full of baloney. He's full of it. Because everything we need is there. It's there, Bill. It's tangible. Every bit of peace is tangible. It's tangible. Just feel like, just reach out and grab it. Just grab it. It's right there. This is it, right here. Jesus died for you because he loves you. Jesus' love for you is what defines you. What defines you? His love for you. He died for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's pouring out love on you every day, whether you feel it or not, right? By receiving his divine love, we, in turn, can live at peace. Because I know who I am. I know what he died for in me. And so I know I have peace. His love draws me to him and causes me to love him back. Draws me in. And all I can do is say, I love you, Jesus, I love you. Just gets you all over the face. It draws you into that kind of love. It's not a weird. It's not, I'm making it weird, but it's not weird. It's not weird. Jesus loves us that much. It is so tangible. His love is so good. It's like a mommy kissing a baby all over the face. It's divine. He loves us that much, and it defines who we are. His love for us defines that you are a daughter, you are a son. And in that definition, I can rest, I can see breakthrough, and I can live in peace and calm and victory. Woo. When you know how much God loves you and Jesus' sacrificial love on the cross, then your response is, more, Lord. More, Lord. Bring it up. More, Lord. And peace comes when you know how much you're loved. Peace comes because we know we are loved. Are you loved? Do you know it? Do you know it? Do you know you are loved? The greatest thing on this planet is to love and be loved. That is the greatest thing on this planet. So great that God, he made us to love and be loved. So great that God said, I love them so much, oh, I'll squeeze their face. I love them so much. I'm going to send my son because I love them that much. That I'm going to send Jesus to die for them to make it all right. When you know you're loved, peace floods. Invite God's presence on the daily. How do we do this? Ask. It's yours. Ask him, I need you today. I need you in this office complex right now. I need you to help me. Ask him to infiltrate every area of your operation. Peace will flood and bring power to move, hear, see, and know heaven is touching earth. The upside down kingdom of heaven. Where are we called to live? The natural is peace. The natural should be our natural operation is kingdom, right? Not the world. The world will define what you need to do and try to take your peace away and try and tell you you're not enough. And as soon as you hear those voices, you need to identify, that is not my Father. That is not who I am. Peace is restored. Peace is restored instantly. That is not who I am. That is not my Father. That is not how he talks to me. God is love. God is love. God talks with a loving tone. He comes with such grace and mercy. It's crazy. The atmosphere of the earth. When I was thinking about this, right when I was typing this out yesterday morning, and it came really fast. I'm like, oh, Lord, I know this is you. Okay. The atmosphere of the earth absorbs the sun. Okay? That's what the atmosphere is for. So it absorbs the sun. It absorbs the heat. And the sun is what keeps us alive and not frozen to death or burned up. Right? The atmosphere of the earth absorbs the sun. Do you realize that we are alive because the sun is absorbed through the atmosphere? The sun is absorbed through the atmosphere, which gives us energy, which gives us the ability to plant things and they grow, which feeds us, which keeps the animals alive. God bless the animals. Okay? God designed all of this beautiful atmosphere to hold all the power we need to live here on this planet. And what he's saying is, I have also given you an atmosphere of peace. Cultivate it. And that atmosphere is to absorb the sun. That atmosphere is to absorb the sun. Jesus, if we don't keep him at the center, I mean, if we don't keep him right here, Jesus is the center of everything. Jesus is the one that went to the cross to die for us, to make everything right, to keep our peace steady. And God is calling us to say, I want to be a cultivator of your atmosphere of peace. The atmosphere we cultivate in our lives absorbs the sun's energy, power, strength, peace. The atmosphere we cultivate in our lives absorbs the sun's energy, power, strength. You know how powerful the sun is, right? The sun in the sky. How much more powerful is Jesus? How much more powerful is our Father who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who has everything stored up good for us, who has everything planned out when we can't see it? How good is he? How powerful is he? Now, do we want to create an atmosphere where the enemy just wreaks havoc in our lives? Where we believe what he's saying? Or do we want to say, no, I choose love. I choose your love, Jesus. I choose your peace. I choose your atmosphere. I choose to say in this moment, and this is real. This is so real that you can choose what atmosphere dwells in your house. You can choose what atmosphere speaks to you on a daily basis. And I'm not being weird, like atmosphere-y, like weird. I'm saying God's presence is our atmosphere. We can choose whether we live in the presence, the atmosphere of the Father God, or we can choose whether we live in the presence, the atmosphere of the world and the enemy. At, atmosphere is presence-based value. Bill Johnson's quote. Take that in for a second. Atmosphere is presence-based value. Whose presence do you value? Whose presence do you value? Do you value his presence? Because, oh my goodness, the more we tune in, the more we set our gaze, the more we ask, Son, come in, the power that is going to flow and continue to flow and continue to give strength and continue to cultivate that peace that you so desperately need and I so desperately need. We cannot do anything out of unrest, right? We can't accomplish anything when we're not trusting him. We really can't. It paralyzes us. It paralyzes our ability to move and be and have our being. And Jesus said, I come that you may have life and life to more abundantly. John 10:10, I come that you have life and life more abundantly. Not that you just survive. Not that you just drug your way through it. Here's what I believe the Lord is asking. Do you want my peace? Just ask. It's yours. Will you stand with me? In this chapter, it talks about being holy as he is holy. It talks about sanctification in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It talks about loving others. God's presence, Holy Spirit's presence, is what brings about holiness in us. Not us doing all the right things. It's us when we do the wrong things saying, Jesus, help me. When we say the wrong things, running to him and saying, I need you to work this out in me because it's not working. Something not working here. My anger is getting me here and it's not peace at all. It's choosing to acknowledge that I need the Holy Spirit. I need him to help me. I need Jesus' love to absorb in me so that I operate out of my identity, not out of desperation or fear. But a desperation for more, Lord. More, Lord. Yeah, I messed up. Thank you for forgiving me, and grace is so good. Yes, more, Lord. Help me do it again. Help me to do better this time, and it's good. You don't have to carry the weight of the mistake on your shoulders all the time. You don't have to carry that. He's not calling you to carry the weight of the, oh, you messed up. You carry that now. You deserve to, you know. That's not God. Stand up, shoulders high. Peace comes in. When you mess up, you go to him and say, I'm sorry. Instantly, peace will flood. You go to your brother and sister when you mess up. I'm sorry. I was wrong. It's okay. It's okay to be wrong. When you're made right by the cross, right? And then sanctification happens. Holiness comes in your life and you're able to move and be. And you're like, oh, wow, that problem that I struggled with over and over and over again, I'm not struggling with it anymore. I'm not swearing anymore. What is going on? Like when I get mad, I'm not cursing the guy out in the car next to me. That's so cool. Oh my goodness. I am not struggling to look at that magazine tonight. I'm free from that. I'm not struggling with picking up that book anymore that I know I shouldn't read and is not good for my spirit. I'm free. Because when we say, I am going to choose to see you, know your presence is here with me on the daily basis. Peace is here with me on the daily basis. I don't have to operate out of fear. I don't have to operate out of achieving. I don't have to strive. All that is wiped away. I get to rest. I get to stand in peace. And I get to say, I want to absorb you. Come on, more, Lord. And then, oh boy. Then you look around the room and say, oh, there's daughters and sons of the king. Look out. Oh, wait, Satan, guess what? She's up. You guys seen that meme on Pinterest and Instagram. You know, she's up. Get scared. It's true. Do you know the power you hold when you hold the presence of God? Do you know the power you hold? Oh, buddy. Yeehaw. Thank you. you have a song? Okay. I love you. He's so good. Me good. He's so patient. The fruit of the spirits will operate in every day. Every day. It's true. We need Holy Spirit. I need you to help me. Right? Spiriel. I want to pray over you. But I want you to say this with me. Father, I want your peace. Father, I want your peace. Say it like you mean it. Father, I want your peace. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that your presence equals peace. We thank you that your presence equals joy. We thank you that your presence produces the fruit of the Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for always being with us. We thank you, Jesus, for loving us and refashioning us back to the original design you made us to be. We thank you for taking us to a place of surrender and a place of total honesty with you, of total desperation for you. We thank you for taking us up to a place where we can remember everything you've done so far and what you're going to continue to do. We thank you for bringing us into a place of rest in you, that all we need to do is let you be our Father. Listen and obey. Hear your voice. Oh God, you're so good. Your peace is so tangible. I pray that this week, as this body reaches out and grabs for your peace, they would be filled so full of your Spirit that miracles would flow out of their actions, that they would be set free from things that have tried to bind them, that they would walk in their identity as daughters and sons of the King, as royalty, that their provision that they need for this week to make it through, whether it's the bread on the table or a financial bill that needs paid, it's already done. And they're going to grab for that tangible peace, and they're going to hold on to that peace. You, they're going to hold on to you, and they're going to walk in your provision, and they're going to trust, and there's just going to be this calm, even if they're in the eye of the storm, because you're removing them out of it. Lord, I am so excited for what you're doing in this body. I am so excited for what you're doing in this county. I am so pumped to be in your presence. I am so excited for more. Father, I know you have more. And we are just walking in. So, Father, I bless every daughter and son in this house as we go. Fill them overflowing with your peace this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.